Yes, friends, this is Dr. Calais, and I'm going to speak to you and reveal to you a section of heaven on this tape that will really help you to know some things that's going on in this earth. First of all, I'd like to talk about Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah, without a question. Jesus is Christ. That's right. Christ is the same as Messiah, if you study your Greek. And Jesus is Lord. I want to prove to you that Jesus is Lord. What proof do we have that he is the Messiah and that Jesus is in heaven? Paul's testimony on his way to Damascus proves that Jesus is Lord. Paul asked this question, who is it, Lord? He said, who is it, Lord? He had recognized it was a Lord coming out of heaven. And the answer came from heaven, I am Jesus. So now we can truthfully say that Jesus is Lord. We've established that very clear and plain from the word of the Lord. In Isaiah 7 and 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, interpreted Emmanuel means the Messiah, but also in the Greek, used, in the Greek, it means the Christ. So there, Jesus is Christ Jesus, proving that he's also Emmanuel. And how wonderful it is to know that in this wonderful reality of truth, that with Jesus being the Messiah, which the Jews have been looking for so many years, and in the 6th chapter of the 9th verse, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. On the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, and for establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth ever and ever. The zeal of the Lord, the seal of the Lord of the host will perform it. The Messiah, Jesus is that Messiah. Now, when Mary conceived and Jesus was born in Bethlehem, she was conceived by the power of God and the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost. From heaven, directly from heaven. And this was absolutely a spiritual birth, bringing forth Jesus unto this earth, both Son of Man and Son of God. With a dual personality, he could perform as a walking, fleshly individual upon this earth. He could also walk as God, because he said, my Father and I are one. Now, this was the conception or the borning of Jesus from the Spirit. Now, Jesus went to heaven. Now, we turn to another subject upon this earth, abortion. When should we say there is no abortion? Always, forever, and always. No matter what way the woman conceived that she was become with child, therefore, that is life, and no one is allowed to kill life. You become a murderer. And in heaven, I saw the murderers in heaven. I saw the murderers on the other side of the dark glass. Could see them there. Oh, how their faces looked because they'd committed all these murders. Murdering life. Murdering life that God has established upon this earth to make these babies. Now, of course, they are conceived in sin without a question. All of us are sinners and come short to the glory of God. And whether that baby was conceived into the womb of a prostitute, we had that happen in South America and became the most wonderful, wonderful lady who walks in the areas of the mission field, married a fine man. So there is a one that could have been at the abortion to kill that baby, yet she was born out to be a beautiful woman. Supposing Abraham's father or mother had ordered an abortion. We would have had no Abraham. And the same way all the way through the Bibles, from Moses and all these men that I saw in heaven. Supposing their mothers would have called for an abortion, we wouldn't have Moses. We would not have had Abraham Lincoln. We would not have had George Washington. We would not have some of these men that's been so great in the great American nation. We would not have had any of them. Let's just think of some of these men going back. You can go, General Patton may not have been born, and Pershing may not have been born, and all these men that have been men of renown in the American nation. And many of the popes may not have been born. We wouldn't have the popes. We wouldn't have these men if abortion had been carried out by in the womb of the mothers of these men, because every one of them had a mother, had to have a mother for the cradle, for the womb, for the baby to be formed in. So to go into that cradle, into that womb, and destroy that child is absolutely number one abortion. Supposing you say it was done in rape, that this woman got raped, and raped either by a black man or a white man or vice versa, then there's no law that could even permit the abortion. There's no law of God could permit it, but the law of man is going to try to permit it and kind of have legalized murder. Can you imagine the American nation, great nation as we are, performing abortions through the law? You know what? There'll be a day of judgment, and all those that vote for that abortion will not make it before the throne until they've learnt different. How awful that would be for such a thing to happen. Now, supposing that baby is proven to going to be an imbecile or a vegetable or so forth before that baby's born, and the doctor puts that x-ray into the wound of that woman, finds out that baby has no brains. Then, are they supposed to kill that baby? No, that's nothing. I tell you why. Because in heaven, there is a section of heaven where all of these babies dwell, growing up in the Lord and in heaven. And if that baby doesn't have any mind or is vegetable, God is able to put a new mind, the mind of Christ, in that baby. So everything in heaven will be perfect, because there's no imbecile going to be an imbecile in heaven. They will be refreshed. They will be made whole by the power of the living God. And in this section of heaven, we find this great vast area, very big, very large, where they're all being cared for by the angels. Oh, if you could go into that section of heaven where all these babies that they've been taken from the mother's womb and been put in there and allowed to grow up, allowed to grow in the spirit, because they are spirits, they are souls, and they have a soul, and that soul will be nourished in this section of heaven, nourished by the angels of the Lord until they come, because this is life. You can't kill life. There's no way that you can kill life, the life of God, and that's killing the life of God. You can perform abortion on that mother, and that mother's going to have a meet that baby that she allowed the abortion to take place in her womb. Mothers, don't do it anymore. I get this message around the world. Please don't do it anymore, because you're going to have to stand in heaven and watch your baby grow in heaven that you allowed the doctor to perform an abortion and take that baby out of your womb. So there it is, because all life is God's. All the seed of life is God, because God started life upon this earth. And the life of God is in man. The breath of God is in man. And the breath of God is in everyone who is come to Jesus and being born again and being washed in the blood. And then the fullness of God comes into that man or that woman if they allow God to perform this wonderful, wonderful miracle in them and bring them up to heaven to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So what's happening to these babies in heaven? These babies in heaven are in a special section of heaven. Until the age of accountability, there they are, many of them, hundreds of them, thousands of them there, being nourished by the angels, because that's life, being brought to the fullness of the realization of God the Father, they might come out with the rest of us and just worship the Lord. Now you know, in this secret I have given you, what's going to happen to your baby that went on before. Maybe you had one pass away at two or three weeks old, or so forth. That baby's soul goes right into this section of heaven, where it'll be nourished by the glorious power of the Lord. And I was through that baby section of heaven, and I'll tell you, being know a lot about baby births and these things on this earth, it was wonderful to see. Not one of those had a retarded mind. Not one of those were a cripple. Not one of those had a vegetable mind. Everyone looked so beautiful, and they were talking. They were taught to speak God's language. They were not speaking in heaven, and as they raised up these little babies, they come up raised up, hallelujah, to speak God's language. So, Mother, I tell you this, please. Don't let them perform an abortion on you, because unless you repent and really repent and ask God's forgiveness, kneel down before God and say, forgive me, Lord, you'll stand there through and looking through the glass, that dark glass, and look at your baby being nourished and raised in heaven. Babies will be raised in heaven by God, by the archangels, by those. And going through this, I was able to just pick up those little babies in heaven. It was the most wonderful experience. Pick them up in my soul arms and pick them up and love them. For Jesus taught us that. He said, suffer little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. There it is. You can't get away from that. So if it is so in the Bible, if it is so, he suffered, said, little children were coming around trying to push these little children back. Don't bother Jesus. He's busy. You've heard that today. Saying, well, you sit back in the back. In other words, that old saying, children should be seen and not heard. Don't believe that. Don't believe that children should be seen and not heard. Because the voice of that child sometimes will bring out wisdom in the spirit. I remember years ago, just a five-year-old baby began to prophesy in the meeting, and we all stopped and listened to that baby, that five-year-old child prophesied. Why? Because that child was born in the womb of that mother. Oh, I knew that mother well. And she was speaking in tongues, glorifying the Lord and praising the Lord the whole time that baby was born. And when that baby came out of that womb, that baby came, and it wasn't no time that baby was smiling. And when that baby smiled and came out of that mother's womb, in no time that baby was just following that mother to the altar all over the place, just almost literally and almost just hanging onto that mother's arm, because that baby was filled with the Holy Ghost in that mother's womb. Where have you got the Bible for that? All right, go back to John. John was not Jesus, but Elizabeth there, when John's mother conceived, here John came out. Hallelujah. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you. John was the prophet in the wilderness. He put on that old camel's hair and ate honey and locusts all there, coming out of there. And here's what he said. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's what John said. And here he recognized Jesus. So John, when John was in prison, he sent word back to John for verification. Jesus sent to say, oh, the blind receive the sight, the dead are raised. And what happened? And the people on this earth are having the gospel preached to them. Oh, friends, I want to tell you, that's the gospel. Back in heaven, in the section of heaven, where this great nursery is, you know, a lot of churches got a nursery. They'll take these babies into the nursery, and they'll sit down on the floor with them, and they'll teach them about Jesus. I was just lately in New York a few days ago, and I was in that place, and the place was packed and jammed, and they were putting in extra chairs and standing around that place, and I had to come out to go back to the house where I was staying. And the only way out of there was through the nursery. And I got through the nursery, and going through the nursery, I'm telling you, got into the door, and there they were, all these precious godly women. Godly women with those little babies, with those, telling them about Jesus, and they were listening so good about it. And teach your baby upon this earth, teach your child about Jesus, because if anything should happen to them, anything happen to them before they come to the age of accountability, Their soul goes right into heaven, into the heavenly nursery. Can you imagine there's a heavenly nursery? Listen, there's something else in heaven. I attended the greatest foot washing that I ever attended, ever. Where was it? In heaven. You mean to say they wash feet in heaven? You better get ready to wash them down here, because I tell you, they had, and they washed my feet. I'm telling you, the angels, what did they wash it in, water? No. They washed my feet in this river of life. Wash my feet in the river of life? My Bible says he'll keep the feet of his saints. Oh, blessed are the feet of those that preach the gospel. There's something about our feet can take us different places. Your feet can take you into the juk joint, into the hell hole. Your feet can take you down. Your feet, you walk on your feet. And if you follow the devil, you can use those same feet to go to hell. But you can also use those same feet to go to heaven and go into the reality of God, where you can learn about God. So there's a foot washing in heaven. And when the church comes in, I was told, here's a secret I'm giving to you now. When the church comes into heaven, the body of Christ comes in, the angels are going to wash our feet in the river of life. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. You talk about a time. You better go to foot washing down here and get used to it up there, because this was a Bible reality. When these men had walked the deserts of the Bible lands, when they'd come up on that road from Jeddah to Jerusalem, when they'd traveled all these sands of the desert, and they walked in their sandals, and that sand had got into their feet and right between their toes. Here it was the custom of that day to sit the traveler down and sit down and wash his feet. If you want to get the starch taken out of you, if you really want to get the starch taken out of you, and you think you're so proud, just let some old lady wash your feet. And if that won't do something to you, I'll tell you, it'll do something to you, because it's Bible. And Jesus did that same thing. Jesus set an example. Jesus set an example. I'm telling you, he set an example. Yes, he did. He took a towel and girded himself with a towel, and he washed his disciples' feet. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? Now, if Jesus did it, why shouldn't we do it? You see, this is a bombshell, isn't it, to some people? Because they're kind of against it, too proud to get their feet washed. You know, proud. But you know there'll be not a proud spirit that will be able to stand in heaven, not a proud spirit. And if you can imagine millions all getting their feet washed in one time in heaven, that's really going to be a time, because your feet will be dedicated unto the Lord. Then also, now, factually, there was a time when I thought that feet washing was funny. I thought years ago, when I first went in back in the 20s, and I got into a place, didn't know what it was, and I got in there and said, go down to that church, and you'll see what they'd have got in there. And boy, they come and said, you'd like to have your feet washed? I'm telling you. And here was the ugliest old fella come to wash my feet. I tell you, he really looked ugly. He was an ugly-looking old fella. And he come there, and I tell you, but he was clean. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, and his hair was long, and his hands was rough. And he'd been out working in the woods. You know, he's one of these, what they call a bushwhacker in the woods. He'd climb the high trees. He'd been a high climber in the woods, rough and tough. And there he was, hard back in his days, but he got converted. He come over to me, he says, Percy, can I wash your feet? And I tell you, I was amazed. I said, well, my feet are not dirty. I just had a bath before I left where I'm staying. I didn't understand. He said, I was just a young boy. Oh, no, that's not it. He said, it's an act of, he called it, humbleness. He says, I'll tell you, will you wash my feet after I get through washing yours? And here was this old fella, kind of ugly, you know, and his toes didn't look so good, and his feet didn't smell so good, you know, because he'd just come out of the woods. And I got down there and took that bowl, you know, and I began to take that water and that soap, and I washed those feet so clean. You know, when I got through, I had the greatest day of my life after I washed that fellow's feet. I did something to me that I'd never have forgotten. Never forgotten, because what it did something to me. And the Spirit of the Lord, it went all through my body. And then that caused and put in my heart great love. I went down the streets after that there, of Vancouver down the streets, and every one I got so out in the street, I just wanted to take every tramp and wash their feet. I just had that love, and I said, you know, if you get to Jesus, you see, I was young then. I said, if you want to get your feet really clean, I thought I was doing it. I said, you can get your heart to Jesus. I said, go out to the church when I went, and you'll have the cleanest set of feet you've ever had in your life. That's what I thought about it. So it is God. So in heaven, they wash feet. Going over into this part of heaven where all these babies are, if you could see the beautiful care, tender care they take. Now, they're not just flashed from a baby to the reality of a full-grown child. But here's exactly what happens. You see, also, they're taking heavenly instructions. And should you imagine a baby there in heaven being starting to grow to a certain size and under the instruction of the angels? I'm telling you, they'll be so ready to serve the Lord, and that piece of flesh that's buried upon this earth that they took and they took into cremated them. A lot of hospitals, what they do when they take that baby out, they cremate that child and burn that child in the incinerator. But I'll tell you, it makes no difference. You cannot burn away life. Down in the jungles of South America, there's a place called the Guyana. And this place has been burning for hundreds of years under the ground. It's burning. And they call it the place of the fire. And this fire is underground. And you know what? That fire will burn seeds, burn anything. But you know what happens? As that fire leaves, it's no time when the rain comes and the beautiful green things begin to grow. Why? You cannot kill the seed of life. Because the seed of life, what God created, the heaven and the earth, and He created all the plants and all of the beautiful growth of this world, and there's no way to kill life. Life lives on because life is forever. Life is in eternity. Life is for always. Life always will be. And life is so because it's the life of God. God created life. He created the plants and the roses. He created all these things by His glorious hand. He created them and He made them. Now He's transferring all that into heaven. Oh, I'm telling you, can you imagine transferring the life of this earth into heaven, pure and holy? He's transferring His humans who are going to follow Him. He's transferring those that don't reject Him. He's transferring that life in heaven. This is God is doing this in order to have those to worship Him, because God loves to be worshipped. He's bringing all that life in this earth that's been redeemed, every bit of it, all that life. He's going to make the rose more beautiful, the tulip more beautiful. He's going to make all the flowers more beautiful. He's going to make all like the Garden of Eden more beautiful. And it'll all be in heaven. All that life will be in heaven with God, with Jesus, with Him. This is heaven I'm talking to you about this morning. Heaven. Heaven is a place of the redeemed. God's life, God's beautiful creation, God's beautiful reality. So He's bringing it all to perfection. To perfection. Even all of those Satan's places of where the hospitals, where they've lost their minds, God is going to give them in the last part, they'll all go to heaven, that's right, into the outer perimeter to get their instructions. They'll go there with a full and clear mind, and God will bring that creation up into the outer perimeter to see that day who they're going to choose. So those rejectors that I've told you that absolutely rejected God upon this earth will not be able to, the rejectors will not be able to see God. The rejectors over the ones will not be able to see Jesus. The rejectors until that judgment day. And when that great judgment day as they stand before God, they will be accountable and we all will be accountable for the things we've done upon this earth, because I told you about that record area. And long just over the top of where that great baby nursery is, over in that same section, is the record department. And that record department, not one idle word. Every idle word will be accounted for in that record of heaven. Then after the judgment, after the great reality, after this has taken place and God said it's all finished, Jesus said upon this earth and the cross, it's finished. For one time, the God the Father is going to say it's all finished in heaven. He's going to say it all. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, standing before God. And then those records, all of those records, will be cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And I want to tell you what the sea of forgetfulness is in his life in the next part of this tape. The sea of forgetfulness. Is that in some place, that sea of forgetfulness? And I'll tell you just what, looking out of that record window, where the record, the windows of heaven, we can sing that song, the windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight, and it's joy, 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 since Jesus made everything right. Everything will be made right there in heaven, made right upon this earth, in the hearts of men and women. But in heaven, everything will be right. Everything will be right. Then, after the judgment, all of those records, that great big slide window will open up. Great big slide window there where the record is. And it's there on a pitch. And God, only God will do that. And then all those records will go sliding out of heaven. Sliding right out of heaven to the sea of forgetfulness. And I went around that record department. I went around it, walked around it, and I saw the sea where they go. And I'll tell you about what was in that rolling sea. That rolling sunder, you've heard there, the rolling sunder. And then I heard the song of Zion. Oh, if you ever heard the song of Zion, I'm telling you, Zion, Zion. You know, the multitude cried there to Jesus upon this earth. Zion, 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 oh, hallelujah, Zion. Zion, Zion, Zion. Sing that beautiful song about the rock, about the mountain, about Zion. All these beautiful songs these men and women have written, how beautiful they are, how real they are, and how real. So I went around to this area, and I heard the song of Zion as a multitude there watched. There was a multitude there watching and looking out there, a multitude. And then we came back and crossed the record of the great recording area in heaven. And you know who runs the recording in heaven? God himself runs it under the by the He instructs the archangels. And they keep this record all in the mind of God. God does not forget one thing, but he'll forget it all. God will forget it all after the judgment. Forget it all when it all goes into that forgetfulness. God himself will remember no more. Anything you've done upon this earth will be all in the past. And that'll be gone into the sea of forgetfulness. Forever and ever and ever. Not one thing that you've done upon this earth, my friends. After the judgment, after the great record throwing into the sea of forgetfulness in heaven, not one thing upon this earth will be remembered. You will not remember any more anything you've done upon this earth. It'll be all gone into oblivion. And you'll serve the Lord. You'll forget those that came up before the judgment that was cast into the outer darkness. Oh, please, 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 I plead with you to get right with God this morning, because I want to tell you, I'm 81 years old, and if in the natural, I wouldn't be around here too much longer, but Jesus told me I'm going to stay here till the rapture takes place. Hallelujah. Going to be in the rapture with the rest of them. I want to tell you, that's wonderful to be in that rapture. Do you want to be in that rapture? Of course we want to be in that rapture. We want to be in that number that can't be counted. In that number so numberless that no man will be able to count us. Be so many going up the Lord. But can you imagine all of that great crowd going in there and singing Zion as they leave this earth and then going in there with God language and the great reception, the great foot washing, the great thing that's going to happen in heaven. Oh, please get ready because it's going to happen. Oh, glory to God. Get down on your knees, for I know God is real. God is so precious. God is so real. Jesus is real. The angels are real. Heaven's real. And I'm back on this earth to tell you about these things. I've got a great responsibility, as I told you. I want to be true to that responsibility, because there's nothing on this earth for me. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Be with you. Jesus, save these souls out there. Speak to them, the Lord, Jesus. Give them life. Give them, wash them in thy blood, please, Jesus, as they come to you and say, what must I do to be saved? May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. God is real. God is precious. May God bless you. God bless you, bless you. Yes, friends, for a moment or two in the jungles of South America, back behind all of civilization, in the regions beyond. In the regions beyond, as I've told you, dwell many Indians under the trees and in villages. If you'd start to walk from one river to another 100 miles alone, you'd realize you need the protection of God and the protection of His angels. One time down in the jungles, I was laid down on my stomach with about 30 Indians around me. And they were going to initiate me and put rocks on my back to mark me as one of them. And this was quite an experience, because when you lay down and you got men all around you with knives and swords and spears and all these things, you'd better have God with you. Of course, I was ready to die as a martyr, as many of them died as a martyr. But this is where the host of angels appeared. And the host of angels appeared right in the jungles. And they laid down their knives, their spears, and their poisonous arrows and all the paraphernalia they had to use to kill their birds and their food. Therefore, the angels appeared. Angels appeared. And angels appeared at Mons, as we told you in one of these tapes, in there in the battle of the First World War. Angels appeared many times in the Bible. But this is the day of the hosts of angels. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to be in this great combustion, as we told you, and God's going to send His angels. Won't it be wonderful when you're having service in your church where you're really preaching the word of the Lord and the songs of Zion being sang, and all at once the church house is full of angels? I tell you, this is what's going to happen all around among. It'll change your life. It changed my life to live among angels. To live among heavenly beings in the jungles is one of the most. This is why our precious Indians are so devoted to God, because through this precious privilege the Lord has given them to see hosts of angels. I'll tell you why. Because in the simple belief, in their childlike faith, they believed it was happening, and it happened. Now, transferring from the jungles into heaven, we go right into heaven. So heaven, as we've said, has millions, literally millions of God's citizens in heaven. Angels, archangels, and all these great and wonderful men of God dwelling in heaven. Heaven is a real place. And when you think of all the prophets, Isaiah the prophet, Ezekiel, and all these prophets of the Old Testament, including those of the New Testament who carried the gospel, all in heaven with Jesus, all there helping to prepare a place for you. I remember a dying Swede one time who was a good carpenter. He was laying there dying, going to heaven, leaving this world. I said to him, "Holy, what are you going to do when you get to heaven?" He says, "You know," he said, "I'm a carpenter." And he says, "Just let me get up there and I'm going to help Jesus build the mansions." That was his desire, to get up and work. And there are those in heaven that's helping Jesus. Those, Jesus got the greatest construction crew that you ever saw. And as I told you before in one of these tapes, there's piles of diamonds laying there, sapphires and all kinds of precious stones by the metric tons. Just tons and tons of them were created by God and being used by Jesus and all of his workers to build the mansion. Heaven's perfect. But then you can look out of heaven. You can look out different ways. You look into eternity. That's a tremendous experience ahead, to look into eternity. And then you can look over there at different places. It was terrible to go to the left-hand side of Jesus and look down in the bottomless pit and the right hand of the Father. To look down into the bottomless pit. This is heaven. You can do it in heaven. But that will close up. Hell's doors will close up and be sealed forever. And then that bottomless pit will pass away from heaven. And then we'll remember hell no more. We'll remember the bottomless pit no more. We will remember all that will be erased from our memory. Every bit of it. But there to the right of that great place, there was this great sea. Outside, looking out from behind the record department, down around, as I walked there, I could see the sea of glass. I mean, not the sea of glass, but the Roman sea. this roaming sea, the sea of forgetfulness. This sea of forgetfulness, roaming, great big waves, 300 or 400 feet high, just a roaming, and it was rolling away from heaven. All rolling away from heaven, rolling and in the opposite direction. And it was just a roaring and a roaming through space. And all these records are going to be right thrown into that great sea. Can you imagine waves coming up 300 feet high, foaming, white foam of foaming, and all of that going away from heaven, just foaming away and going away? This is an experience that I had of watching that sea of forgetfulness. And in that great sea of forgetfulness there, all these records are going to be thrown in, every one of them thrown in that sea, and then that sea will close up, and that will be gone into eternity, gone into eternity to disintegrate and go where out there millions of miles into eternity, never to be remembered more. It'll be destroyed in that sea, go out there all out past all of those stars that are shining toward heaven. All of that will be thrown into that sea to carry away all of that records and all of that. That will not be put in the bottomless pit, because only the souls and the souls of those that disobeyed God, the ones that rejected God, will be put. Nothing like that will go in there. But that will go rolling out into that sea, rolling away from heaven, gone, because everything in heaven is real. It's not just God waving a magic wand and saying it's gone. We'll know where they go. We'll know that they're gone. And then the forgetful time will come on. Well, this was an experience to know about the forgetful time. Our minds right then will be completely changed. We'll have the complete mind of God. It was explained to me. We'll have a different mind altogether when that happens. And we'll have the mind of God. Oh, that's going to be wonderful. We will be completely transformed, transfigured, transformed out of the worldly thoughts. Now the worldly ideas completely into the control of God the Father. Do you want to live forever? Do you want to do that, or do you want to just not live forever? Do you want to go down the bottomless pit and just be in existence where you know what's happened to you? No, of course you don't. You'd be taking too much of a chance, friend, if you do that. Because supposing you went and closed your eyes in death tonight, and then you woke up and found there was a heaven. You woke up and found there was a hell. You better not take that chance, because there's no room for an atheistic theory in this wonderful experience that I've had in heaven. Now, heaven is so beautiful. Now, with this sea of forgetfulness, where this great sliding door opens up, and it's in there and going through. Now, every place there is a outlet from heaven. Now, remember I said the outer perimeter went all the way around heaven? That's true. But where these slides are, where they dump the records out in there, it goes under the outer perimeter. In other words, it's down there several miles below that. And the chute goes straight down. And to see the way God's fixed heaven, I tell you, to take a trip around heaven. And I believe others are going to take a trip in heaven, because God said it was so. God said others are going to pay the price. They're going to really give up all this world's idea. There's others going to do that. It'll take you some time. You're not going to do it and just give up everything one day and do it tomorrow according to the way that God did it to me. And you're going to have to absolutely consecrate your life, friends, to have this experience. Consecrate your life to eternity. Consecrate your life to God for everlasting, everlasting life. Because this message must and will, without question, go around the world. These invitations that I've had to see these men of renown, these men in authority, these men that I've had invitations to go, where I've had to go to these places which God will open the door. You can fly anywhere in the world in a couple of days today, anywhere in the world, and fly to them and tell them. Then God showed me they'll open up all of their people to hear this message. If you want to get something done, go to the top. Don't go to the bottom, go to the top. It's always been my experience. If I wanted something done and I went to Washington to get something done, I went to the top. If I went to see and had anything done in a foreign country, I didn't go to all these undergrads There are all these places. I went into one place, one embassy, and I says, I want to see the ambassador, please, and give him my card. Oh, he said, that's impossible. He's going to be busy for the next 3 weeks. Yes, but I got a message from heaven. Got a message from heaven, have you? You got it? Yes, I got it. He must hear about that. So they went into the ambassador and told him, this gentleman's coming, he has a message. He says, bring him in. I want to hear that, see what he's all about. Brought me right in front of the ambassador right now, and I told him about heaven. And he changed, and he changed. I've met some of the ambassadors of the world and gone in there to the different embassies and gone in there, and God's opened the door and opened the door for me to go right inside. It's marvelous how God can open doors. God can open doors where no man can shut them. I've met many dignitaries of this world. I've met them and talked with them. And my, when you get to them, they're no different than anybody else. They'll sit right behind their desk, and if they're smart, they'll listen to you. They will listen to you. I remember the head of Scotland Yard, Mr. Taylor. There, I said, I want to see the head of Scotland Yard, do you? Oh, said, that's impossible. His engagements are all taken up for the next year. Impossible for you to see him. And I tell you, he was in the inward office before that day. I was talking to the head of Scotland Yard. Isn't that wonderful? How God can open doors. And you know, heaven is so beautiful and so real. Many people, if you come there and tell them you've been to heaven, either they say you're crazy, or they'll say, I want to see you, one or the other, because it brings immediate separation. You know why the people say you're crazy? Because they're anti-God. They're away from God, and they can't believe the supernatural. They just can't believe it because they're so worldly and so sown together with this world. It's impossible for them to even think about the supernatural. Okay, then you don't believe the Bible, do you? Of course you do. If you believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is full of supernatural reaction and also supernatural action. I said first reaction, and then I said action. The superpowers of God. The Bible is speaking about the great superpower that is God. And when you go in that Bible, of course, many skip it. Also, I just can't take that. One fellow said, well, Revelation is not for this day. Said that was just something that happened back there in the Bible days. Another one said, well, the speaking in tongues is not for today. Another one said, only a sinner can't pray, and all these crazy things. Because man forms their own idea. Man forms their own idea, and they'll say, well, this is so. They form their own idea, and they're so dogmatic at it, man, they'll want to shoot you if you argue with them. So you can't argue with anybody. There was two men got in an argument one time in California over doctrine, and one got so mad at the other, took a pistol and shot him. And that's exactly that happened in California about 35 years ago, because they got in a hot argument. Friends, that's not God. God says, let's come, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And that's the reasoning together. So the Bible is a reason. God's Word is a reason. So then, in heaven, as I told you, I sat on the seat of love. Most wonderful reality in the 13th chapter, Corinthians, where we read, second, read, have not charity, it profiteth nothing. So these things down upon this earth profits nothing unless they're absolutely engulfed, saturated, baptized, any way you want to say, in love. Because love is the keynote to heaven. Love is the keynote to heaven. That's the keynote. And the keynote, what I mean by that is this. You can have all these things, but when God puts His love in your heart. When God puts His love in your heart, that's God's love, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, filled with the love of God, and that give you a ticket into heaven. So you got your ticket now. You've been born again, you got your ticket. That's your ticket. It's paid for. Jesus paid for your ticket on Calvary. And you're ticketed. Have you been ticketed this morning? Have you been ticketed today? If you have the seal of the ticket of the blood upon you, get your ticket. And how you get your ticket for heaven is by and through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon Calvary. Now, then in heaven, I want to tell you, up there by the records, over that records, is this great cross. You say there's a cross in heaven? There's a great cross as a symbol of Jesus, there is sacrifice. And under that cross is a sacrifice. Great sacrifice under that cross. And the sacrifice under that cross is to give up the world. It's a sacrifice to some to give up the world. But do you know that cross that stands there before the records, there the records, is also going to be cast into the sea of forgetfulness. The cross will go with it because there will be no more need of a sacrifice, no more need of a cross because Jesus has paid his price. But the Lamb, the slain Lamb, will be there forever. The slain Lamb will be there forever with the blood upon the Lamb. And Jesus is that slain Lamb, slain for the world, slain for your soul. And Jesus is in heaven. So when you walk with Jesus and you talk with Jesus, he's so humble and so precious. So then when I went with Jesus around these records, and he looked back, he said, "You see all these records? My Father keeps a perfect record," he says. "My Father keeps a perfect record." And Jesus always recognizes and speaks of his Father. "Father, my Father," said Jesus to me in heaven. "My Father and me." He didn't say I, he said me, "my Father and me." That's the way he said it to me. "My Father and me are one." And you might call that bad English and all those things you might say it. But anyway, that was told me in the language of heaven. Jesus spoke the language of heaven to me. And in that language that he spoke to me in heaven, the language of heaven is so beautiful. When you pray, and when you pray by the power of the Lord, when you pray, and as you pray, you find there that you begin to pray in faith. So first you can pray in faith, and then you can pray a little deeper. But when you start to pray right out of your belly, that's when you speak God's language. So you can learn God's language down there, and you can learn what you're saying. You just really pray out of your belly, where the rivers of living water come from, and you can learn God's language down here. Here's how you can learn it. You can say, "Lord, what did I say?" And he'll tell you and bring it back in your language what you said. And you can, "I noticed some of my speaking in tongues out of my belly. Some of the words are exactly the same, come out exactly the same." So then, therefore, they have a meeting. So I asked Jesus in heaven, I said, "Jesus, when I pray out of my belly," I said, "a lot of the times I say the same sound, the same words." He said, "You're just learning God's language." He said, you'll be a full-fledged student once you get here because you've learnt God's language. And I'll tell you it's real. So then it was very easy for me in heaven to speak in God's language because I've done a lot of praying right out of my belly. And that's where God speaks to you. So get ready to pray deeply. Some people call it travail. Then I asked Jesus about travail. What happens in travail? When Zion travails. Zion. That's Zion does the travail. And who's the Zion? Is the church. Zion, Zion, so beautiful. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And in this praying in the Holy Ghost, then you pray in God's language. So in God's language, these people that are outside the perimeter, they have to learn God's language. They have to learn it. They have never spoken tongues down here. You take a Baptist and a Methodist or whatever, never spoken. Now, I'll tell you, this is what they told me. They don't go right before the throne of God. They have to stay in the outer perimeter and learn God's language. Now, why wait, you Baptists and Methodists and Episcopals, why wait to learn God's language when you can learn it right here? Get the power of the Holy Ghost in your church, I tell you, and start speaking in God's language, and you'll feel so good, and you can join the multitude. Don't you want to join the multitude that's going to be in the wedding supper of the Lamb? Don't you want to join the multitude? Of course you want to join the multitude and be ready to go. Prepared for Jesus to meet him. Prepare to go with him. Now back in heaven again, there's many portions and parts of heaven. And in the next tape, by the will of the Father, I will bring to you another portion of heaven. There are many, many portions of heaven, many, many sections of heaven, many sections of heaven. And when you figure the seat of knowledge, so there's a portion of heaven, not only the seat, there's a portion of heaven. Heaven's a great school. So then you'll go into the section where knowledge is being taught. You talk about a Bible school and where knowledge is being taught. So you learn the knowledge of God. They call knowledge a gift down here. But they'll get the full-fledged treatment of knowledge in heaven. And you become a soul of knowledge. All right, now let's go to wisdom. You go to the wisdom department. You know these Bible schools down here. They have departments, and some of them they're very rigid in their time. One place I was at, I was speaking, and they said, "Didn't you hear the warning whistle or something about the warning toot toot toot?" They said, "Didn't you hear it?" When I'm speaking and preaching and talking to God in heaven and church, I don't hear anything down here. Don't hear a thing, not a thing. Only I'm in touch with heaven, and all I know is heaven. Just knowing heaven. So how in the world could you ever hear a toot, toot, toot when you're in touch with heaven? God blocks my ears clear up, and I can't hear anything down here. So time is nothing with God. There is no time. And then in this department, heaven, we go into the part to learn about no time. No time. It was the Frenchman who stood before the guillotine. And he stood there as they were going to let that big blade down upon his head. And he'd done something political. He wasn't a murderer. He was just a political. And they were going to cut his head off because he didn't hear to the political setup of the day in France. But he had a watch. He took that watch out of his pocket. And he said, "My people, listen to me. Please take my watch. And take my watch because where I'm going there is no time." It was Socrates that said he would be wiser than all those priests and all of those judges of Athens. He said, "In just a moment or two, I'll know what's on the other side." And he said, "I'll know more than you do. In just 2 minutes, I'll know what's on the other side." Now, Socrates must have believed in eternal life, because if he believed there's no life, then he would have said there was something. He said he would know. You know, if Socrates had been born to Jesus' time, wouldn't he have been of some preacher with Jesus? But he said, "I won't tell you." Now, in Athens, he said. And you know what he did? He stirred up all of Athens. You know what they put him to death for confusing the minds of the young people. What are the questions they asked? They said, "What is holiness?" They couldn't answer that. "What is pity?" They couldn't answer that. "What is long-suffering?" They couldn't answer that. And Socrates asked them these questions. Those judges were so dumb and so earthly orinated, they couldn't even know what pity was. But Jesus, now they're in heaven, there is a section called the section of pity. So you learn to be perfected in all these things. The section of everlasting life. You're going to learn about it. Do you want to go to a school where you're taught what everlasting life is? Do you want to go into a school where you're taught what pure holiness is? Do you want to go to a school in heaven where you learn all about everything eternal? Do you want to go and sit in that love section? You'll be able to go to all these classes to learn more about God's plan of love, of running heaven. Because I'll tell you, God's going to run heaven. And he's going to run it his way. And you better be ready to partake in the godly operation of heaven. I sat in those seats because I'm a candidate when I get to heaven to go into all these. And I want to tell you, I want to spend 1,000 years in all of these different departments to learn all I can about God. All I can about God the Father, because he's God the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, oh my God. Looking up toward the roof of this place where we're recording now. And I want to tell God, my Father, here's my words here. Oh, Heavenly Fathers, look up to you. Help to get this message to the different parts of the world, that we may take it forward in thy name, that we might be faithful and do it according to thy love. And then there is a part of heaven, which is the part of administration. The part of administration. You mean to say heaven is going to have an administration? One of the most wonderful administrations that you ever saw. There's not going to be any crooks in there. Not going to be anybody that has bad characters. There'll be nobody in that ministry. But we're going to be a part of the ministration of heaven. You mean to say you're just going to go up there and be an idle person? No way. You're going to help run heaven under God's command. Do you want to go up and help run heaven? It'll be so perfectly run from one end to the other. Every one of us will have a position in heaven. My, it's not going to be any place of idle place. And I don't know what position they're going to give me, but they're going to give me one. So get ready to have a position in heaven. When you have that position in heaven, you'll have that part to do. And you'll be so happy in that part that you're doing in heaven that you'll enjoy being a part of heaven. That's right. Just like the man said, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. No, she'll sing. Don't you ever sing that song to me. Build me a cabin in the glory land. I was all over God's heaven. Never saw a cabin anywhere. Never saw a cabin in the corner of glory land. Didn't see it. So forget that song. Whoever wrote that might have been very honest about it and willing to have a cabin in heaven. But I never found one cabin in heaven. All I found was mansions and glory and beautiful and reality. All I found in heaven was the perfectness of God. All I found in heaven was beauty, was joy and happiness. All I found in heaven was the reality and the love of God and reality of God. So beautiful and so real. So you're going to be a part of heaven when you go there. Be prepared. Now, if you don't speak in tongues and speak in God language, how in the world could you help run heaven? Because you'll have to go. You couldn't help run heaven unless you do. No way, because you won't know how to do it. You'll have to go and sit right there in the outer place and learn how to help run heaven. Because God's going to give you a part to do in heaven. And one fellow said one time, he said, I'll be satisfied if I go to heaven, just sweep the floors. I want to tell you, there'll be no brooms in heaven. Don't worry about that because there's nothing to clean up. I never saw a broom in heaven. And I never saw dirt. I never saw a speck. I never saw anything in heaven. Only that which is clean and beautiful. So you'll need no brooms. You won't need a fire department. You see, you've got to have a fire department. You won't need a fire department. And you won't need an army. That's the most wonderful part about it. You know, there's one country down in Central America called Costa Rica. They do not have an army. And you know, they got less trouble than anybody. That's right. Costa Rica, San Jose, Costa, has no army. No army. And nobody bothers them. Switzerland got kind of a lot of what I call them. They stayed neutral all these years. And you know what I mean? When the armies of Israel begin to go and Russia comes down and they begin to get dead, that's the army of the sword. But they turn those swords into heaven. And the old colored song sings, I'm in the army of the Lord. I'm in the army. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier in the army. So we're a soldier in the army of God. And my Bible says, endure hardness in this earth as a good soldier. It's right there. So be faithful and endure any hardness that comes your way. Be satisfied in that position that you find yourself. And you'll please God by not complaining. Because I want to tell you, God is prepared. And He's prepared me. I'm ready. I'm ready to go because I am prepared. I have prepared myself. One time I went to a place and they said, this place doesn't give very much to eat when you get there. He said, one time all they had on the table was pepper and salt. And I said, well, I said, I'm going to go prepared. I'm going to take me, and I bought me the biggest long bologna I could find, and then about 5 reds of bread, and I went into this meeting prepared because I found I had something to eat. But you don't need to do that, heaven. All you got to do is just get yourself there, your naked self. There's nothing you will be able to give to God, but you're just get your naked self ready. Your gold and your silver won't help you a bit. You better get rid of it. Give it to the work of God, because it's not going to help you one bit. You better, rich man, you better just get that money that you got and give it to some work of the Lord, because the Lord can use that money upon this earth to get souls saved, can get souls saved. So I'm appealing to you this morning. Appealing to you this day to get that checkbook out and write a check to God's work. Write a check and a big one. Don't stop at 100. Don't stop at 500. But empty your bank account, because He'll fill it up. My father did that. Empty his bank account and he fill it back up. God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Friends, you rich men out there, listen to what I'm saying, will you? Just support the work of the Lord. Just get that checkbook out and mail in a check. And I guarantee we'll use it to the glory of God. I guarantee we'll use every penny of it, every cent, every last cent to the glory of God. First time I've asked for that. Write a check for $1,000, $10,000, whatever you want to do, rich man. Support this ministry that it will go to the four corners of the earth. All right, time is coming to the end of this tape. May God bless you is my prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you.